Yo, Chico, boxing is interesting because I've been in the gym with you and your cousin, Cessa Raymond Francis. And in the same gym, you have people at all different stages of their career. In one gym, you have the new guys, you have guys that have a few professional fights, you might have an Olympic champion, you might have a world champion, all in the same gym. And it is very cool to see. And one of the fighters that I've seen around you guys, you used to fight on the same card. Recently, I saw him pop up on a Showtime fight, Edgar Belanga. Oh. I'm like, yo, son, another star in the making. So, Chico, what can you tell me about the fighter Edgar Belanga? Like, how long have you known him?
I know him since he was a kid. His father and my dad are friends. I know him, great kid, man. Very humble, deserves everything he's getting. Amazing fighter, amazing young man, human being. Very humble. If you see him in the street, you ask him for an autograph, a picture, one of those guys that won't turn you around. He could be walking with City or stop. Mm-hmm. He's one of those kids that are good for boxing. Newcomer from New York. Oh man, amazing kid. He just had a kid, him and his lady. Congratulations to them. They brought a new bundle of joy to the world. And they're doing good, man. He should be fighting soon because he announced that he's going to announce his fight. I'm always looking up to see him fight. He trains with Uncle Dre, Andre Rozier. Trains with Gary Starrs. He trains with those guys in Staten Island. Those guys down there got a great stable fight. Richard Comey, Pablo.
With Belanga, his last fight, he won, right? But going into the fight, he was 16-0 with 16 knockouts.
In the first round.
16 first round knockouts. Now that last bout went to distance, he won. Fans maybe or viewed it as a disappointment. You had a different take.
Yeah, I thought it was great for him because now he don't have that monkey in his back that he got to knock everybody out. I keep telling people, this game is not called knockout. This game is called boxing. Mm-hmm. You can beat a man up and don't got to knock him out. The best knockout is when a man goes back to his corner and sits down and looks at his trainer and go, I'm not coming back out. There's nothing I could do to this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if the 16-0 with 16 kills in the first round, amazing. He was chasing the record. I think it was 19-0, 19 knockouts in the first round. He didn't get it, but that makes him any less of a fighter? Hell no. At the end of the day, he showed grit. He showed that he still got skills for 8 rounds, still carry his power for 8 rounds. I'm telling you, man, if you ever want to see this kid, man, I'm telling you, man, they train like crazy in Staten Island with Uncle Dre, Gary Starr, Sharif, Sosa. They all be down there. All these guys that I'm naming are trainers that got great fighters. Derenchenko, Richard Comey, Sugar Boy, Yoan, and all these kids, man, Pablo. They got Ivan. I'm talking about fighters that out of New York that represent New York, right, man?
Right.
And if you see the kid fight and you see where he comes from, you understand why he's this good. He's around nothing but good fighters and great trainers, man.
What was it like for you and Cessa watching him on that Showtime stage? Somebody who used to share the same card with you when you guys was fighting at the King's Theater on Flatbush Ave. What's that like, watching that ascension?
No, that ascension is great, man. We applaud that, man. We know we ain't no haters, man. Everybody got their time, man. His time is now. And he's doing a great job, his dad and all of them, taking care of him the right way. He's doing the right thing. He got a great team around him. He's doing good, man. Sky's the limit for this young man. You just got to stay focused and ready. Like I said, stay ready. Don't got to get ready. You just got to be focused. And with the people that he got around, he will be focused. He'll be one of those guys that a year from now, 2 years from now, we'll be talking about championship fights with all these guys that are coming up. Oh, yeah, you got Canelo and these guys that are already in the fights. But these guys are almost out their career. This is a young boy, 20-something years old. By the time he gets to 27, he should be world champion.
Wow.
24, 25, he should be world champion.
Wow. Couple things I want to get into before we get into your fighter. Errol Spence versus Manny Pacquiao, August 21st. What you got?
It's a great fight for boxing. We got to respect Pacquiao. He's a legend. We respect it. You know what I'm saying? Congratulations. You've been doing all of this. He's a legend of boxing. We gotta give him props. Errol Spence, man, the truth. Mm-hmm. Could fight. Had an accident not too long ago, maybe a year, 2 years ago. Thank God nothing happened. He came back. He's feeding his family. He's taking care of his family with his boxing skills. He's another guy that's amazing. And, you know, sky's the limit with these guys, man. But who we would think that has to win this fight would have to be Errol Spence. He's the youngest guy. Mm-hmm. Pacquiao's on the way out. Is this a Pacquiao last hurrah? Maybe it is. But what about if Pacquiao wins? Know what I'm saying? But everybody's going for the young
there's,
guy.
There's no way Pacquiao could win.
No. Very hard.
There's no way.
But at the end of the day,
stop.
This is boxing.
Now you're right. Now
this is boxing.
I'm talking like I'm somebody that never got in a ring. I'm sorry.
I've seen things happen in boxing. Let's be for real. Yesterday, yeah. Saturday, we watched a fight, which was yesterday, that maybe a million people that never seen this kid fight would say, he getting smoked after the second round when he got touched by Charlo. Oh, he gonna get smoked. What happened? 12 round fight. We enjoyed it. We want to see it again. Mm-hmm. So a star was born yesterday. Mm-hmm. A star was already there. Another star was born because they stood to tangle. They tangle right. They meant for each other. Second fight is coming. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense for them guys to fight anybody else. Make the money with each other. The fight was great. We want to see it again.
Terrence Crawford in October. He doesn't even have an opponent yet. Chico, how would you describe where he's at in his career right now? Because it seems like he's cleaned out some of the fighters that he should have fought. We talked about earlier about that mouthpiece. Don't know if he's really had it. Is he really the big draw in boxing? Although his skills are top-notch. Like, how would you describe where Terrence Crawford is at in his career?
To people in boxing, Terrence Crawford's it's great. He's a good fighter, man. I call him the mean fighter. He has a mean streak in him. Mm-hmm. Even when he's the weigh-in, at the weigh-in and everything, the way he looks at the fighter, the way he is, he's a mean fighter. He's coming to fight. He takes this very serious. It's how he feeds his family. Like I said, this is very. He's a very, very good fighter. He could be great. One of the great. People forget. He had all the belts at 140. Mm-hmm. At one time. Yeah, all four belts at 140. Makes him great. Is he a Hall of Famer? Did he fight the people that makes him that great? A lot of people would say no. Oh, he got it under his resume. Okay. The same thing you could argue about Canelo, the same thing you could argue about Mayweather, the same thing you could argue about that a lot of fighters, that the same people that will argue that say Crawford's not good is the same people that will tell you that Mayweather didn't fight nobody. Mm-hmm. But boxing tells you different because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, who is Mayweather to you? TBE.
TBE!
He's a great one. But there's people out there, haters, that be like, man, he's not that great. He didn't fight nobody. He fought Berto. Mm-hmm. He fought this. Hey, my friend. You get in the ring and fight them guys.
I want to talk about your fighter, your cousin, Cesar Raymond Francis. He's currently 8-0.
Six KOs.
Let's talk to your fan base. Let's talk to your supporters. Hell, talk to me. Why has there been a gap between some of his fights? I'm looking at his schedule. Over the last 4 years, Chico.
He only fought 8 times.
Over the last, what do I have it? Over the last 3 years, he fought 4 times. June 2018, July 2019, December 20, and then February of this year. What's happening?
First, pandemic. Before that, we don't have a promoter. Mm-hmm. And when we get in these cars, We have to sell tickets. You've been there.
Yes,
you
sir.
You sold tickets with us.
Yes, sir.
You done did your footwork too for us. You know, we're family.
Yes,
we,
sir.
We done did the footwork for us. That's why I always tell them, remember who did the footwork with you when you get up there, because I will remind you. When they give you those free tickets, no. These tickets go to these people because these people been here
when you started.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we didn't have no promoter then. Now we are working on a promotion deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're Box Promotion out of Miami. And we're looking at the contract and says everything is looking good.
Does that mean we could look forward to him fighting more frequently?
We got a big announcement.
Okay.
As soon as we get the particulars out, or the contract out, we got a big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to like it.
Okay.
It's going to hit home. You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
And we might need your services too again.
Oh, that's nothing.
You
that's
know how nothing. It is.
That's nothing.
Well, you see, that's where boxing is at right now. Back in the days, promoters used to put cars and people used to come out to the boxing match.
Right.
Because promoters used to put good cars. Doesn't matter if the undercar was sensitive. He didn't have to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to sell tickets, that was on you. Because the tickets were going to get sold regardless of what.
Mm-hmm.
But with the time, we had lost those fans.
Yeah.
See, we had lost those fans.
Yes.
This is where I come back and tell you, I can't hate on Jake Paul. Because outside of boxing, he created a fan for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So if whatever he does, if he go into swimming, they go and watch.
They follow him.
You see, that's what I'm saying. This is the era where if a boxer wants to make that money, wants to do all the things he wants to do, he has to walk and create a fan base for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they hate him, he could be a cocky person. He didn't know he could beat me. That'd be his persona, so people can hate him. So they could come watch him or pay to watch him lose.
Does that ever become frustrating for you and Sessa because you guys are ready to do your part, but the business may not be the way you want it, and therefore you can't go to the ring? I think we saw that with Bernard Hopkins for many years, right?
Yeah. The thing is, with boxing is, you gotta understand this. It's a process that comes with it, you know what I'm saying? It's a game where sometimes you got to go to the table with people that you don't want to go to the table with.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game where I believe they could blackball you.
Yes, sir.
I think this is a game where a person could say, nah, I don't want to deal with them because they not people to deal with. That's why wherever I go, I am who I am. So if they come to Will, not knowing that Will knows him, knows this guy that's standing right here, and someone come to you like, yo, yeah, and you go, put that guy, Cesar Francis, in the car. I like how he fight. And this guy tells you, oh, man, I don't like dealing with his cousin, man. And you don't got to deal with him. I deal with him. That's my people.
Mm-hmm.
See, he can't blackball me because you know who I am.
Right.
That's why I tell people who I am from the beginning, Will. This is who I am. You don't like it? Hey, it's okay. I'm not here for you to like me anyway. Because not everybody going to like you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody going to understand. Everybody going to see your vision. Your vision is your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Your path is your path. Nobody going to walk there with you. But everybody going to pat your back when you get there.
Yeah.
Act like they knew you was going to get there. They ain't see the vision. You seen the vision. You could have been like, nah, I'm not helping you sell no damn ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But you see the vision. You I'm always honored to come in and do this thing with you because you always try to put us out there. The vision is there. People don't see it.
A few years ago, I remember I went to do the podcast with Sessa. I said, yo, let me spend a few days with him to just see what his day-to-day is like.
Crazy, huh?
So I walked in the gym.
You're like, these lunatics.
He got his cousin, his uncle.
Talking shit.
Talking wild shit. But see, I didn't know. All I knew was Sessa. So when I walked in the gym and I seen his family, you know what I said? Nepotism is a beautiful thing. Like, I thought he was just putting y'all on because y'all was family.
No.
Little did I know, his uncle, his cousin, they were the pros. Sessa was the young buck getting the game from them.
Yeah.
Please remind the audience and me who your father is.
Oh, my dad, man, Francisco Guzman Sr., six world champions. 3-time trainer of the year from Panama, 2 or 3.
If you haven't watched that interview I did with Sus, that's a few years ago, it was on my YouTube channel. There's a picture that comes up in that video version of the podcast with his dad, Francisco Guzman Sr., and he's standing next to 3 world champions, the 3 belts.
Yeah, Gapito Sanchez, rest his soul, 122 pounds, from Santo Domingo, WBO world champion. Mauricio Martinez, Ñañara, from Panama, 118 world champion, WBO. And Kevin Wilde, 105 pounds, world champion from Colombia.
So that's who is training Cesar Raymond Francis. And when the pandemic hit, we getting the information, okay, it's best that we protect our elders. So it's best that
the old man stays home.
He's not in the gym every day. So you, Chico,
the last 2 fights,
you slide to the lead chair. What was that like for you? Now, you're the head trainer. You following a legend, and not just any legend, one that you call dad.
Nah, you see, I don't call myself that a trainer, because at the end of the day, I still prick his brain every day. Every day I go to the gym, it's me and him together on the phone, coming together.
Your dad.
My dad, coming together for a game plan for training for this day, mm-hmm. training for that day, training for this day. Because I'd be wrong to tell you that I know this game back in my hand. I've been around this game back in my hand. My father done told me the ins and outs of the game. But to teach a fighter to take him from 4 round to 6 round to 8 round to 10 round to 12 rounds, it takes different trainings. It takes different mentalities, stuff. I'm still learning. I'm still going as I go. I still pick my dad's brains every day we talk about boxing. If we're not talking about boxing, we're talking about soccer, our second best love. Like yesterday, I was supposed to go get him so he could watch the fight. He didn't want to watch the fight without me, so he didn't watch it.
Wow.
So he watched it. He watched soccer in my home. I called him after the fight. He told me what I thought. I told him the fight was great and stuff like that. He went and watched it. He said, wow, what a fight. That kid could fight. You told me he could fight. I said, yeah, because I saw him fight with Lara. My dad said, what you took from this fight? I said, a lot of things, you know. I told if Charlo decided to fight a little more, like, mm-hmm. let's go bang, Charlo would have took him out of it, probably took him out of it, because Charlo's the bigger man and probably the strongest man. Mm-hmm. But the guy did what he had to do. But like, yeah, top trainer, I'm the head trainer now, because my dad, the last 2 fights, I'm the one that took my cousin to fight. But my dad been there every training, not physically, but mentally, because we always talk days before. As the 9 weeks, he's there with me.
How was it being on the road without your father? Nervous, pressure?
Not nervous, more anxious. Mm-hmm. Anxious to like prove to myself that I could do this as a trainer, mm-hmm. and prove to him that whatever he taught me is in good hands, that I'm gonna bring it to a different level like he did.
How soon after the fight did you call him?
No, he called me. He called me. After the knockout, the first fight in North Carolina, when we won the belt, he called me because he watched it with my mother now. My mother jumped up. My mother was crying. My father called me, and he was like, yo. And the first thing he said on the phone, he said, what did he say again? He said in Spanish, he said, felicitaciones.
Hold on.
And I said, thank you. It's congratulations. Uh-huh. I said, thank you. I said, I learned from the best. And you know what he said? He said to me, he said, looking at you out there with your cousin and stuff, he said, man, wow, it's amazing. And I said, why? He said, you did a great job. You're doing a great job. Keep doing it. If you need anything from me. And I said, Pop, I'm always going to need your guidance to take me there. Like, if right now I would be lying to you, if a big fight comes up, my dad not going to be in the gym with me. I make sure everything is clean, massive. He's got to be there. Because he's that old head that been around this shit. And I'm not going to be like, oh, nah, man, if he got to take the front, I play the back. My dad. Shit, he's the great man. I've learned this shit from him. At the end of the day, I always told him, I'm trying to be better than you. Not better than Freddie Roach and anybody, better than you. Because mm-hmm. if I'm better than you, I did my job. Mm-hmm. And you did your job as a father, because he told me this shit. I'm not better. I want to be better than Freddie Roach, and I want to be better than my dad, man. Because mm-hmm. my dad, like I said, like, and my mother is like the rock of my family. Like Cesar's mom is the rock of his family. It's like, at the end of the day, we come from nothing, man. Mm-hmm. So my father talks boxing, man, I listen, bro. You know what I'm saying? The OG knows his stuff. And you, if you were to ask him these questions, I know the OG's so good, man, he'd have told you, Will, that's the past. Let's talk about now.
Yes, sir.
He would not talk about his ex-world champions, because he don't live by that. He said, yo, that's the past. Let's talk about the future, what we could do now with these fighters. And I admire that from him, because there's a lot of people that haven't done nothing, just did a little, and they live off that.
Yeah.
I've seen guys come up and lie in front of me.
Yeah.
And the guys are looking at me like, yo, that's Gio's son, the guy that really trained that guy. Don't say that. And I'm there laughing like, and I won't say nothing.
Yeah.
I seen guys come up like, yeah, I used to train Agapito. Took him to it. And I'm like, yeah, I was there to fight with Pacquiao. And I'm like, wow, if you go on the YouTube, you see my dad. Never seen you before.
Your dad was in the corner with Agapito Sanchez?
Pacquiao, I told you all. They was both world champions. Look it up on YouTube. My dad was with Juan Guzman when he beat Agapito. My dad was Arturo Gatti trainer. Well, Arturo Gatti was nothing coming up. Rest his soul. Great champion. Great friend of my father. But things happen. My dad didn't know English, and a lot of people did dirty things to my father and cut him out of position where he was supposed to be.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And those are the things I learned. You can't come do that shit to me. It's a new TGA here.
The Guzman Academy.
Academy.
And they trying, Chico. Like, people try to come pluck your cousin from you.
They can't. They can't understand that. They don't understand loyalty. They don't understand family. They don't understand deeper than what it is. If they understood that, they would have never done that. What they did is drove themselves away from C's a little more and more, because he sees the snake in them.
By trying to proposition
my cousin for anything without me knowing.
I remember one time you told me, because other trainers come up, they see your cousin is on the rise.
And you know what's messed up? The great trainers that I mentioned you earlier,
mm-hmm.
these guys, I'm around with my cousin, Spawn, they fighters, and these guys want to see me do good so good that they would, yo, tell Cesar something. And I won't mind, because I done help they fighters.
Yeah.
Or do something with their fighters. They don't mind, because at the end of the day, I grew up with these guys. These are the guys that saw me when I was young. They know who's my dad.
Yeah.
When my dad comes around, he gets the same respect. But now his son is around, and I'm the person I am to everybody, with respect to everybody. If a person out there tells you, not because I'm here, Will, if a person out there tells you I'm a hater, bro, I want you to smack the shit out of me.
Got you.
There's nobody that could tell you I hate on anybody, bro. I want to see everybody win.
Yeah.
I won't even fight certain people because I want to see them win. I want to see them do something. And if they tell me, yo, fight your cousin, I'll tell them, yo, keep that low. Nah, we ain't doing that. And Cesar would be like, nah, we ain't doing that. Let them do what they do. We do our thing over here. Because there's no need to fight each other.
Right.
Right now, there's no money, no nothing involved. But there's people out there that throw shit in the air. But the person that I am, and I've been prepared to be by my father in this sport, I look at it and I smile, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like I said, I want the best for my cousin. And it's the best, if he feels that the best is with someone else, I'm not going to hold my cousin back. He got a family to feed. He got kids to feed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell him, you know, I'm always here for you, and we always going to be family, regardless of what. Beyond boxing, we always going to be family. We got to see each other all the time. So, I know they come behind my back, Will, but they can't win, man.
What weight does Cesar fight at?
He fights at 140 and 147.
So tell me the 148?
No, 140 and 147.
140 and 147.
Yes.
What is the big audacious goal? Like, what's your ideal future look like? Him in the ring versus who?
No, you see, we not the type of person to call nobody out. We here to fight, man.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that knows us, everybody that knows where we go, small, wherever we be at, they know the person that we are, we ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
We stay ready to fight wherever. That time, when the time comes to fight for that, we looking for world titles. We looking for the big money fights that he could sit back and say his fruit of his labor was, he did something right and took care of his family. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody thinks, oh, because I make 10%. It's not about the 10%. We chasing something, man.
Mm-hmm.
We chasing something bigger than just money, man. We not in this sport believing that we can be good. We believing that we could be great in this shit. So that's why we go hard. And anybody, I got people that really mess with me, man. Really with me, bro. In this game, bro. They call me, they need help with their fighters to spar, they know to call me. And other trainers won't call me because they know that I don't bump with them like that because I know who they are.
Shady.
Yeah, they're shady. They you come there, they say what's up to you. As soon as you leave, I'm not that type of person, man. Mm-hmm. A person told me one time in the gym, why I smile so much. And the next thing he said, you live in the project, why you smile so much? And I smile like that. You know what I told him?
What's that?
You have so much, and why you so mad?
Straight up.
And he looked at me and I said, you got the car, you got everything. Why are you so mad? And I'm not mad. Yes, you must be mad to ask a person that's happy why he's so happy.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, a person can't be that happy. I said, shit, I got up today and scratched my own ass. I'm happy as hell. All my kids are healthy. My family's healthy. Everybody good. My mama's good. My father's good. I just lost my grandmother a few weeks ago. My father's mom, rest her soul. She was 89. She was fine with kidney failure and all this stuff. Great woman, took care of my dad, gave my dad morals, you know what I'm saying? The man who he is. A few years back before that, he lost his dad. The guy, the man that raised him. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even his real dad. He didn't get to find out that his father that he called dad all the time was just a stepfather.
Right.
Because his stepfather did a great job to make sure that was his son.
We all family.
We all family. And when he found out his real dad, he told his real dad, nah. My real dad's over here. I'm good, player. Right. Thank you very much for everything, but I'm good over here. And I asked my dad when he did that. He said, because sometimes dad is not who's there. It's not that. It's the not one that makes you. It's the one that's there. Give you one. He said, my dad passed away, brother. Hmm. So one day I asked him, I said, yo, dad, you don't wonder what? He said, nah, leave that to God. Because I only met one man, it's my dad.
Copy.
And I said, damn, respectfully, you know what I'm saying? Sees. Dad and his mom and dad is his mom.
Yeah.
See, his dad haven't been around, but you see him worried. Because he had me, my father, my uncle. He had us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We showed him more, we showed him the good way. It was tough, but he had a good time growing up. He can't lie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We all did. I'd be here lying to you if I had a good time growing up, man. I had a great time. My mom, my father always showed me that even in bad times, you gotta be thankful. Because if you got bad times, that means you're alive. And remember, bad days don't last forever. Good days are right behind them.
Yes, sir.
And they just gotta appreciate it when they're there. Nobody say thank you to God when good days are around.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to ask for good days when bad days come around. I give thanks to every day. Shit, even the bad days, I give thanks to. You know why? Because I got up and I had a bad day. Thank God I have a bad day. When I have a good day, even thank you even harder.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, that's what we got. At the end of the day, when I leave this world, I can't leave nothing. I can't leave with no glamorous chains, no nothing. That means nothing where I'm going.
Right.
But the only thing I can leave is my legacy of a good person, a righteous person, person that loved his people, loved everybody that loved it, and respect everybody for who they was.
Yes, sir.
So
there you go.
We got in life.
There you go. Chico, I've been looking online and I've been seeing people hashtagging body by Chico. Now, either you doing surgery like Dr. Miami or you helping to transition people to a healthier lifestyle via the workout.
Okay. This started with, I've been training a lot of females, mm-hmm. a lot of young ladies that work as, some of them work as, you know, they work as bartenders and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And they come to lose weight, but some of them in the back of their mind, they want to go and do their bodies and stuff like that. I tell them, even if you do the body, you still got to work out to maintain it. But some of them don't want to go under the knife. So I put them under my knife.
That's it, the right way, in the gym.
In the gym. So I go hard with them. I got girls that lost 16 pounds in 2 months. I got other girls that lost, waist, with no body shape and no nothing, just working out. 3 sizes down. Boyfriends is like, yo, thank you. You know, and what it is chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, personality is everything. You gotta make people believe in your bullshit.
Yeah.
And so when I make, I, when we working out, I make it so fun. At the same time, I kick in the ass. You been in my workout sometime. You see how fun it is. I talk shit to them, and they, but they still do the workout, and they get through it. So the body by Chico came one day sitting down, and a young lady by the name of Lynette Eloise, young lady, very smart, like a little sister to me now, you know what I'm saying? She's been close to the team, and the young lady has a very great mind. She was like, listen, you're helping all these girls. We should come out with something called, and I said, and she was like, what do you think this? We was playing around, and we came up with Body by Chico.
Body by Chico.
She's the one running all that stuff. For my birthday, it was crazy for my birthday because we did a barbecue back at my man Taz's crib. Shit was crazy. Bottles everywhere. We thought it was retarded. They came out dressed alike with the cake and the shorts say Body by Chico and everything. And all the girls that came out was all the girls that I trained.
That's what's up. That's what's up. A lot of stuff going on in that gym. You got Body by Chico. You got professional fighters. You got young people that come in. They may not even want to fight.
No, I got this young boy, man, that I don't want to put his name out there. Came in, he was walking with his friends. Came in, and when he came in, he was talking to my partner, Mitch, the other trainer that trained Cesar Francis. Great trainer. Young man, has a great mind in boxing, by the way. Let me give him a shout out, because without him, it's a team, you know what I'm saying? He helps me a lot with the amateur fighters. He's a great trainer coming up, man. He has a great mind of boxing, man. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because I guess I could sit down with him and we pick each other's brain about how we going to train seeds for this fight, how we going to do that. And we do a great job together. Well, the kid came in and was talking, and one of the questions was asked, he said, yeah, because I'm being picked in school.
Picked on. He wants to fight. He wants to learn how to fight because he's getting picked on.
He said, I'm an honor roll twice. Young man from Santo Domingo doesn't speak English that well and stuff like that, but you can understand what he says. And he was like, yeah, I'm an honor roll student 2 years in a row. And they pick on me because some of the girls be wanting. And then the young man, 14, 15 years old, came in that day. We told him, just come back this day and we'll train you to see if you like it. Came in. By himself this time. Mm-hmm. Trained, called his dad right there and there. I spoke to his dad in Spanish. His dad the next day sent the money for the gym. The kid been in the gym for 2 months with us now, learning how to fight. And you could see his swagger is changing. Mm-hmm. He's more, before he was talking with his head down, now he's, yeah, coach, no problem, yeah. And I told him, I said, yo, I want to ask you a question. Now that you know how to fight a little, if any of them kids want to fight, you will fight? Nah. I said, why not? He said, because I know how to fight. I probably beat him up. There's no need to fight. I said, that's the answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you walk away, man. You get to tell the story. You don't got to be the biggest, baddest man out there, man. I tell all these kids, man, I teach my daughters, I teach my sons how to fight. And I tell everybody, man, it's always good to teach these kids how to defend themselves because they get like confident about themselves. Some of these kids are getting picked on in school. Mm-hmm. Some of them killing themselves because they're being picked on and parents don't know what's going on. That's why I ask questions every day when they come in. What went on in school? Yeah. Who's picking on you? You want to fight them? Yeah, but if I fight them, I get in trouble. Don't worry. The only one that you're going to get in trouble is with me. And I'm telling you, if they touch you, touch them right back.
Right. You're transforming lives in that gym, man. It's not just boxing.
No, it's not just boxing, man. And at the same time, you know what I'm doing? I'm creating a family outside my family.
Yeah. My brother-in-law and my sister been in there?
Oh, yeah. Steve and then, we kicked their ass.
Steve, we with you, brother.
Steve came in one day with Mitch, because Mitch trains them and works them out. But he came in one day, and Mitch was in there. Mitch came in a little later. Steve, like, hell no. Chico, you was a killer. I said, nah, we're just doing what I'm supposed to do.
That's it.
No, but Steve, they come in, they do their thing. You know what it is? The gym is, you ever been to a place? You ever been in a place right now, you could be mad right now? I could be mad about something, brother, and nobody will know. As soon as I walk into the gym's door, I forget about it.
Oh, everything. That's gone. Let people know where they could get up with you, man.
Oh, man, TGA, man, the Guzman Academy, 507. You can come to 65 Scotts, Williamsburg. We got the T2T Boxing Gym, great gym out of Brooklyn. We got trainers as Mitch. We got other guys, Mustafa, Jerry, Joseph, strength and condition coaches, owned by a good friend of mine, Buck. Juancito, Elite Williamsburg. Shout out to them too.
Elite Williamsburg Restaurant, Williamsburg. That's Chico, that right there. And I'm not even being paid for this, yo.
Nah, man.
Elite Williamsburg.
By the way, you see this, you need to pay us, but stop playing. Let me just give you a shout out.
Yo, you go to Elite, right? Just for starters, you get the empanadas.
Oh,
the,
wow.
The chops.
If you want to get technical about it, you go get the lobster mac and cheese. with a nice, if you want to drink hard and you want it to sneak up on your end, you get the Brooklyn Vice.
Copy.
You get the frozen drink, that motherfucker sneak up on you in the third drink. You be walking out of there like, what the hell happened? Oh, Elite is a beautiful place, man.
Elite's popping for real.
You want to take a young lady, you want to show off regular good money, not as expensive as you think, right. That's a spot that you need to go to.
That's it, man. Should we shout out Cesar Rayman Francis? Nah.
Ah, man, C's, man, the late man, the guy that's always late for everything. But I love you to death, brother. You know you're doing your thing.
Keep working
hard,
brother.
Keep working hard, dedication. Mish, everybody, man, the team, all my young boys from the gym, Ryan, C.I., Melly, Kenny, Honduras, Tommy, all these guys that are putting their time in to become amateur fighters. Jose, my professional fighter, coming up. He's 118 pounds. He's good. We working on something for him, too. And look out for Will, man. I think this is the best podcast motherfucker out here, man. I keep telling him, man, we got to take it to a different level. If we get in that door, man, you'll be at the fights with your little table interviewing people before the fucking fight. Once you get there, we could tell the promoters, listen, man, put my Will out here so you could do a little interview with all these guys.
We'll
try to pull it off, man, because at the end of the day, one hand watches the other, both watch the face, man.
That's it.
And we just got to look out for each other and love each other, man. God bless everybody out there, man.
Yo, Chase.
Stay safe, man.
Thanks for joining me, man. I'm William Holly. That's WBH Radio. We out.